Welcome to A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. To join in the conversation, get your questions ready and get on the phone. Lines are now open at 790-5663 for the greater Tucson area. Across the USA, call toll-free 1-877-556-1212. Now here's your host, pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Scott Richards.
Well, a very good afternoon to you, and welcome to this edition of A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. If you've got biblical questions on your heart or on your mind today, we are looking forward to hearing from you. Wide open phone lines available for you right now if you'd like to get in on the ground floor of this edition of A Reason for Hope. Jump on our phone lines, 790-5663, the number to call if you're joining us and you're in the greater Tucson, Arizona area. That is our local number set aside just for you, 790-5663, for any question you have about the Bible, maybe a passage in the Bible you'd like to explore, maybe a problem or two has come your way and you'd like to know what it means to approach these things from a decidedly biblical point of view. We would love to be able to give you that kind of guidance and direction and a little prayer support as well. 790-5663 for Greater Tucson, 1-877-556-1212, toll free if you are joining us anywhere outside of Greater Tucson, and especially good for you if you're joining us across the Hawaiian Islands, courtesy of KLHT Radio in Honolulu, Hawaii. What a blessing to be able to join you each and every day at this time to journey through the Word of God, one question of the heart at a time. If you'd like to tackle maybe a tough question or two that's been lobbed your way by a skeptic or a non-believer, we would love to entertain those questions for you. Maybe you'd like to talk about the events of the day or even the events of tomorrow through biblical prophecy. All that and more on the table. It's your calls and your questions that determine the content of each and every edition of A Reason for Hope. And by the way, speaking of current events, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but today is the National Day of Prayer. Have you been spending time with the Lord today? Well, if you spend time with the Lord each and every day like we hope you do, then each and every day can be a National Day of Prayer. But one thing that we wanted to point out to you all that I think we really do need to be covering in prayer as far as the future of our nation. If you're a listener to this broadcast for any length of time, you know we've talked about the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, that God would bless those who blessed Abraham and his descendants and cursed those who cursed him. Well, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people of Israel, are still under that unconditional promise. And, you know, one of the most important things that we try to emphasize on this program is, as far as the future of the United States is concerned, I think it's intricately tied to whether we are going to be standing with Israel or standing in opposition to Israel, standing with Israel as a friend or standing with Israel's enemies. And, you know, before airtime, I had the opportunity to take a look at an article that ran on the Times of Israel website. Very interesting headline here. It says, same deal is not as hard as he thought. Trump tells Abbas, we will get peace done. Now, this is referring to President Donald Trump meeting today with Palestinian Authority leader Mahmoud Abbas. He said, I will do whatever is necessary to facilitate an agreement, President Trump said to the leader, who demands a Palestinian state based on 67 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital. Donald Trump went on to say, we will get it done. We will be working so hard to get it done. It's been a long time, but we will be working diligently, and I think there's a very, very good chance. During a joint press conference in the ornate Roosevelt Room of the White House, the president, who has already began his attempt to broker a Middle East peace agreement, what he referred to as, quote, the ultimate deal, said he would be willing to play whatever role was necessary to strike the coveted but elusive accord. He said, I will do whatever is necessary to facilitate the agreement, he said to Abbas, but I would love to be a mediator or a facilitator. Later, as he began a working lunch with Abbas, Trump said reaching an agreement, which has eluded successive administrations for decades, despite intense efforts, might not be the unsolvable problem others have made it out to be. Trump said, I think it's something that, frankly, maybe is not as difficult as people have thought over the years. We need two willing parties. We believe Israel is willing. We believe you're willing. And if you're willing, we're going to make a deal. During the joint statement, Abbas used his remarks to tick off Palestinian priorities, for reaching a deal, including elements that are non-starters for Israel, like going back to the pre-1967 border lines. Our strategic option is to bring about peace based on the vision of a two-state solution, a Palestinian state with its capital of East Jerusalem that lives in peace and stability with the state of Israel based on the borders of 1967, Abbas said. Again, muting Palestinian uncertainty over how Trump would tackle the conflict and nervousness over positions the U.S. president has taken that seem to upend U.S. policy, like promising on the campaign trail to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. A contented-looking Abbas told the president he believed peace was possible under his stewardship. Abbas said, "We believe we are capable and able to bring about success to our efforts because, Mr. President, you have the determination, you have the desire to see it come to fruition and become successful. I also believe we'll be able to solve the issue of the refugees, the issue of prisoners, according to the terms of international law." Abbas then castigated Israel's ongoing presence in areas beyond the pre-67 lines. He said, "It's about time for Israel to end its occupation of our people and of our land after 50 years. We are the only remaining people in the world that still live under occupation. We are aspiring and wanting to achieve our freedom, our dignity, and our right to self-determination. Also, we want for Israel to recognize the Palestinian state just as the Palestinian people recognize the state of Israel." Well, in his remarks, Trump did not voice specific support for a two-state solution, but spoke more generally. In a joint press conference he had with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, in February, Trump backed away from insisting that that framework was the only solution. Ahead of that meeting, a White House official said Trump would press Abbas on ending payments to families of Palestinians imprisoned in Israeli jails for terrorism or those that were killed in terrorist acts like, suicide attacks and so on, as well as tamping down anti-Israel incitement. Trump subtly addressed the issue of Palestinian terror and incitement, something he frequently castigated on the campaign trail as an obstacle to the deal during the appearance. He said, "There can be no lasting peace unless the Palestinian leaders speak in a unified voice against incitement to violence and hate. There is such hatred, but hopefully there won't be such hatred for very long." Abbas, for his part, asserted that we are raising our youth, our children, our grandchildren in a culture of peace. Well, that is problematic on a number of different levels. If you're a listener to this broadcast, you know we have filled you in on the culture that is being promoted in the Palestinian territories, particularly through children's programming, like the program The Pioneers of Tomorrow. It is broadcast on the Al-Aqsa TV network, and the show features a young host named Sara Barhoum and her co-host, a large costume of animals as they perform skits or scenes and discuss life in Palestine in a talk show fashion. Well, so far so good. But a couple of the characters that have been part of Tomorrow's Pioneers include one of them, which was a Mickey Mouse knockoff character called Farfour the Mouse. Farfour, for instance, went on the program and described how he would champion violence, promote hatred of Israel, and preach about Islamic supremacy. In the show's narrative, not only Farfour the Mouse, but his cousin Nahul the Bee were martyred, with their deaths either directly or implicitly blamed on the Jews, Israel, Israelis, and or what are believed to be Zionists. For instance, the situation with Farfour happened when he is taken into custody and interrogated by an Israeli who's trying to acquire the key and title to Tel al-Rabi, a fictional Palestinian settlement which was occupied by the Israelis and named Tel Aviv. Farfour calls him a terrorist and then is beaten to death by the interrogator. He was replaced by Nahul, his bumblebee cousin. The idea for Nahul, again, was also very violent. Nahul expressed terrorist views. He stated, "We will liberate Al-Aqsa from the filth of the criminal Jews. Quote, we will go on jihad when we grow up. in episode 204 of this scene. Naul visits the zoo where streaks of cruelty become apparent for the first time. Naul states, "The cats are here asleep, the poor, wretched, imprisoned cats. I feel like abusing them. This cat is asleep. I feel like attacking it." Naul then proceeds to swing cats by its tails and throw them around the cage. It was in February of 2008, it was revealed that Naul was very sick and in need of an operation. Although Naul and his parents traveled to Al Arish, they could not leave Gaza and effectively get to Egypt for medical treatment. He dies at what the show calls a martyr's death in the arms of his parents. Naul was then replaced by his rabbit brother, Asud, who, by the way, not only on his deathbed, instructs Palestinian children they must fight and die to liberate Haifa, Tel Aviv, and other Israeli cities. But Asud went on and talked about even eating Jews. Again, he said, "I, Asud, will finish off the Jews and eat them." So, once again, when Mahmoud Abbas goes to Washington and says that we are promoting a culture of peace, the facts on the ground don't seem to back that up. We really need to be praying that as Donald Trump prepares to go on a tour of the Middle East, there were very hopeful signs that, among other things, he would move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem as a sign of solidarity with Israel. But now it appears that things have changed. There is scuttlebutt that Ivanka Trump and her husband have quite a bit of sway over Donald Trump's feelings on this area. And so we really need to pray that just as the book of Proverbs says, as man directs the course of the water, so the Lord directs the mind of the king, that God would lead Donald Trump to be a reliable and unwavering ally of Israel in the midst of this conflict. They wouldn't be taken in by, I guess, fast-talking, fact-challenge individuals like Mahmoud Abbas, who, by the way, is the prime minister of the Palestinian Authority, even though he has overstayed his particular stay in office by at least 6 years at current count. So, you know, the main reason that Abbas is still in power, there has been no election, is because poll after poll reveals the people in the Palestinian territories would vote to bring in Hamas-backed individuals. Hamas is a group that we in our State Department have labeled a terrorist organization. They're the individuals in Gaza that launched the missile war with Israel of a few years back. And so he knows that if there's an election, he'll be thrown out of power. So a lot of problems there. Who do you negotiate with? Who speaks for the Palestinian people in that set of circumstances? On this day of prayer, we really need to be lifting up our government, our leaders, and realize that the decisions that are being made at this particular time are going to have very lasting consequences for our future. So be in prayer for the peace of Jerusalem, be in prayer for our president, be in prayer for our nation, that there would be a massive turning back to the true and living God. That is the only thing that is going to bring peace, any kind of lasting peace. Well, maybe you're looking for peace in your life. Maybe you'd like to talk about the issues we raised on the broadcast here today. Maybe there is a conflict situation you could use some biblical guidance on. Give us a call. You had a free phone line. Ira and Sean, stay on the line. You'll be next up right after this time out here on this edition of A Reason for Hope.
Welcome back to A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. To join in live, give Pastor Scott a call at 790-5663 for Greater Tucson, 1-877-556-1212 anywhere across the USA. Send Pastor Scott a question at questionsforhope@gmail.com. Now here's Pastor Scott.
Hey, welcome back to this edition of A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. If you've got biblical questions on your heart or your mind, jump on our phone lines. We have yet a free one available for you at 790-5663. That is the number to call if you are in Greater Tucson, 790-5663. If your radio set to KGMS AM 940. If you're outside of Greater Tucson, joining us on KLHT Radio out of Honolulu, Hawaii, or maybe you're live streaming our broadcast at CalvaryChristianFellowship.com, where you can live stream us each and every day, wherever you are. And by the way, if you've got friends or loved ones you think would be blessed by our journey through the Word, one question of the heart at a time, let them know about the broadcast. Let them know they can live stream us on their mobile listening device or on their computer at CalvaryChristianFellowship.com. That combined with our 1-877-556-1212 toll-free number can allow them to be active participants in the broadcast. And what an exciting thing it is that we not only get calls from Honolulu, Hawaii, and the other islands across the Hawaiian island chain, but calls from the East Coast, calls from Florida. We are heard on Life FM 90.9 in Miami on weekends, and there are those that have jumped on at CalvaryChristianFellowship.com and are following us there. What a blessing it is to hear from our Life FM listeners out there in southern Florida. So if you've got friends or loved ones you think would be blessed by the broadcast, let them know about CalvaryChristianFellowship.com, and then they can get their questions to us as well. 1-877-556-1212 outside of Greater Tucson. Out to the phones. We've got Sean on the line. Sean, welcome to A Reason for Hope. How are you doing today?
Having a good day. How are you doing, Pastor Scott?
I'm doing pretty good, Sean. Thanks so much for joining us. What's on your heart today?
Well, it's the International Day of Prayer, so I figured this is appropriate. And one more follow-up. There's time. Nabil Qureshi, who's part of Ravi Zacharias' ministry, former Muslim, great apologist, friend of a very respected mentor in my own studies with Islam. He was diagnosed with stomach cancer a couple months back, and
yeah,
they've been going through chemotherapy and everything that man has to offer, and that rope has officially met its end. The chemo radiation did not work, and essentially all man-made medical practices have failed him, and he's having to get his affairs in order to set up his 4-year-old daughter to grow up without a daddy, and he's definitely utilizing the power of prayer, but God's will is going to be done in this situation. I just thought if we could contribute to that and just pray that now that man's out of the picture, God can be glorified through this.
Yeah, well, let's definitely lift up Nabil Qureshi and his family before the Lord. Father, we come before you right now, and we thank you, Lord, that Nabil has had such a transforming experience coming to know you as his personal Savior from a Muslim background, and then being able to take that background and experience and share it with so many in such an effective way. Lord, I know that the ministry of your word through this man is going to accrue to eternal rewards for him, and even though things are difficult for him in the here and now, heaven's looming large on his horizon. And I pray, Father, that you would, for Nabil personally, just continue to give him that eye of faith to be able to see beyond the here and now, the difficulties he's going through physically, and allow him to be able to have great peace even in the midst of this journey through the valley of the shadow of death he is on right now. Father, it is not too late for you to intervene and miraculously heal him, if that is your will. If you want to extend his ministry and his time with us here, we would ask that you would do that in the name of Jesus. If it is his time to go, we pray for his family, for his 4-year-old daughter, and for the arrangements he's making regarding her future and her care. God, I pray that that you would take care of them, and that you would surround his family with people that can help bear the burden and fulfill in some small way the role that Nabil was having in impacting his children, his daughter especially, with the love that flows from your hand. God, we thank you that he has invested in his life in such a fruitful way. I thank you for the impact he's had on people like Sean and others, myself. I just continue to use him and continue to reach those that are in the darkness of Islam, following very sincerely but in a misguided way the teachings of a false prophet. And God, lead them to the truth that can set them free. They have a zeal for you, Lord, but not according to knowledge. And so we pray that Nabil's ministry would continue and that you would be honored in his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes. All right. Well,
and you had a follow-up on that, Sean?
Oh, there's others on the line. We can wait till tomorrow. But thank you for taking the time to pray for him.
Oh, you got it. And we'll continue to pray. And if you could keep us updated on Nabil's condition, that would be awesome.
NQ Ministries on YouTube. He does a regular vlog. I'll leave the link on the Twitter page.
Okay, that'll be awesome. And anybody that wants to follow up on that and send along words of encouragement can do it through that Twitter page. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Sean. Thank you for giving us that update on A Reason for Hope. Well, that frees a phone line for you, 790-5663, the number in Greater Tucson, 1-877-556-1212, outside of Greater Tucson. Back to the phones, Ira on the line. Ira checking in. How are you today, my friend?
Hi, Pastor. I'm doing fine.
Good.
There's 2 points I wanted to mention that when you were talking about Abbas's visit to Washington and President Trump. I've heard people urge President Trump to bring up this matter of making martyrs out of these terrorists that killed Jews and other Westerners, and putting statues up for them and plaques and things, and that he should withhold money from them if they're going to continue to do that.
Yeah, and even I guess more. Problematic is the practice in the Palestinian Authority of putting the families of suicide bombers and terrorists on a lifetime support system financially. Sometimes there are individuals who were not all that sold out to the jihadi cause, but looked at this as a great way to help their families in financial distress, and have committed these kind of acts or ended up in prison, knowing that their families would be wards of the state from that time onward. So very, very problematic stuff indeed. And it does appear that the issue was raised in these conversations. The Palestinians, though, by the way, I need to tell you, Ira, have made it very, very clear that to them this continuing practice is non-negotiable. Just as the Israelis have indicated that the idea of going back to 1967 borders is a non-starter, I get the feeling that an awful lot of administrations have come in to this mess and have thought, oh well, we can straighten it all out, and the Palestinian Israeli conflict is a reef that has sunk an awful lot of ships of state down through time. I hope that a just and lasting peace could be achieved, but scripturally, I highly doubt it.
I hope I will be forgiven for this bias, but where the Palestinians are concerned, the saying "follow the money," I think, applies more than it would be to the Israelis. And I know there's been some scandals in the Israeli regimes and stuff, but. I just think that term "follow the money" has a Yasser Arafat. He was he made a ton of money off that. He left a lot to his wife, and he lived a completely un-Islamic lifestyle. It was a homosexual lifestyle and several other things that I do believe follow the money would apply, and I will have to see what happens on that matter.
Yeah, and again, having just gotten back from Israel, one of the things that you discover when you go through the areas that are controlled by the Palestinian Authority is that the average person there lives in pretty much slum-like conditions, very low standard of living. And the government continually blames the Israelis for all of that, but the continual influx of money to the Palestinian Authority never seems to make it down to the day-to-day experiences of people on the street.
Yeah.
It does seem to make it to Swiss bank accounts and properties on the Riviera that, say, for instance, Yasser Arafat's wife enjoys to this day. But the level of corruption there is just amazing. And it's probably one of the most poorly guarded secrets going on in that area. Hey, if Donald Trump can get them to straighten up and fly right, to be accountable to their people, to make a concession to the Israelis, as far as the status of Jerusalem and the 67 borders, to work even with the Jordanians. The Jordanians, for a while, claimed that they were the territory of Palestine. You know, if that sort of thing can happen, then more power to them. I had an opportunity to hear one of the signatories on the Oslo Accords speak at the Jewish Community Center a while back, and you know, basically what he was saying is neither side, the Israelis or the Palestinians, really want, or the Jordanians really want to deal with the Palestinians. They keep saying, "No, they're your problem. No, they're your problem." And you know, the Jordanians are run by a minority government. The vast majority of people in Jordan are Palestinian in their background, and they're very concerned about them getting organized and perhaps overthrowing the Hasmoneans, who've the Hashemites, I should say, who have run that territory for a long, long time. But it's more like one of those no, you know, it's like playing hot potato with a hand grenade between the Jordanians and the Israelis. So if Donald Trump wants to get knee-deep in all that, more power to him. But I think he's going to discover that the only way peace is going to come to that region is if the Prince of Peace comes and straightens it all out ultimately.
Again, I say follow the money.
Yeah.
But the other thing I was going to say is that a source of irritation for me where the Islamics are concerned, the Muslims, is they say that Jerusalem is their third most holy city or most holy location. So, I mean, what do they want? Do they want everything? I mean, the third, that's not even the second. It's not certainly not the first. I mean, that doesn't even seem like a good explanation for it.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Ira. Do they want everything? Yes, they do. The goal of Islam is a worldwide caliphate under Sharia law. Until that happens, the will of Allah has not yet been fulfilled.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this idea that somehow, you know, well, we just want, you know, our little territories over here, and, you know, we'll leave you alone if you, if you'll just concede us this position. You know, a great illustration of this is the Gaza Strip itself. You know, again, back in the 80s, Israel controlled the Gaza Strip, developed it, created just an amazing infrastructure, including greenhouses and agricultural development. As a goodwill gesture, the Israelis gave the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians to be able to oversee it. Well, they immediately went in and destroyed all the agriculture. They stripped everything down and wanted to use the parts for war. Their leaders basically hogged up all the money, and the people now live in incredible poverty in that region. They've used the Gaza Strip as a platform for attacking Israel. So the whole idea of land for peace is kind of a non-starter. Fool me once, shame on me. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I don't think the Israelis are going to be fooled. Back in a moment with a question from Bob about a prayer request we had offered here on the broadcast right after this.
Welcome back to A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. To live stream, podcast, or dig deeper into the more frequently asked questions you hear on the broadcast, visit questionconnection.org. If you're unable to join us live, send us your questions at questionsforhope@gmail.com. And now, here's Pastor Scott.
Hey, welcome back to this edition of A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. If you've got biblical questions on your heart or on your mind, we would love to hear from you in the broadcast. You had a free phone line available for you if you would like to get on in. Maybe you bumped into a busy signal in our first half hour of the broadcast. Great opportunity for you. For any question you have about the Bible and how the Bible relates to the entire spectrum of life, what the Bible has to say about current events, events in the news are looming large that have potentially significant impact prophetically, letting us know that we may very well be the generation that sees the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, any kind of question along these lines that you would like to tackle, maybe a passage in the Bible that has, raised more questions for you, has given you answers, we would love to be able to help bring clarity to those passages. Even tough questions that have been lobbed your way by skeptics or non-believers, give us a call. We would love to not only shore up and strengthen your foundation of faith and confidence in God's Word, But on top of all of that, give you the resources to be more than a conqueror. When you're asked to give a reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and reverence, as the Bible enjoins us to do. 790-5663, free phone lines available for you. Again, now at that number, 790-5663 for Greater Tucson. 1-877-556-1212, toll free anywhere outside of Greater Tucson. Back to the phones we go. We've got Bob on the line. Bob, thanks for waiting patiently. Welcome to A Reason for Hope.
Hi, thank you. I wish every day were the day of prayer, but it's not. So.
Well, it can be for us. You know, after all, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So, you know, my thought is, boy, every day should be our personal day of prayer. Maybe not a national day, but our personal day of prayer.
Mine too.
Yeah.
You know, Scott, I actually had a second thought after I talked to your producer, but Monday you mentioned Jonathan.
Yes, yes,
his wife Phoebe was in the hospital. Yeah. I think I know them. I just wanted an update on that.
Yeah, we've had an opportunity to come by and see them a couple of times. Evie is doing just tremendously well. When we first saw her on Monday, she was fully intubated, and it was a very difficult circumstance. Although she was conscious, she was able to give us a thumbs up when we came in to pray for her. She was completely off of any kind of breathing support yesterday and was doing well. And from what I understand, our latest report is she's up and walking and getting strengthened. So the prayers are definitely paying off, and I think I speak for the Kelly family when I share with you. Thank you so much for praying. Your prayers really do make all the difference in the world, and God has certainly honored that in this set of circumstance. She's still in the hospital, from what I understand, has not yet been released, but it looks like that is going to be happening very, very soon. So thank you for following up on that, Bob, and thank you to all of you in our listening audience who devoted yourself to praying for that set of circumstances. Again, it was really a very scary crisis circumstance on Monday. But again, we're seeing the faithfulness of God just prevailing and lifting her up even right now. So good news in that regard, Bob.
The second thing is, just by coincidence, I was at the Veterans Hospital on Monday. I volunteer there, and I ran across a dear friend of mine, Gene Betcher, who's in hospice.
Yes.
So I would ask you to pray for Gene, for Robert's dad.
Yeah, yeah. And Robert, his son, is a wonderfully gifted worship leader who's just really ministered to so many of us at Calvary Christian Fellowship. But, yeah, Bob, let's bring Gene before the Lord. Again, from what I understand, he's in hospice care. He is not in any pain. He seems to be communicative and so on. But, you know, his times his time of homegoing is seemingly looming large on the horizon. So, you know, the Bible does say that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And we just need to pray and lift up the family as well. So let's take a moment and do that. And if you could join with us in our listening audience for Gene and the Betcher family, we would really appreciate it. I know they'd be blessed as well. Father, we come before you now for Gene and where he is in this life. And I thank you so much, even for the reports that we've gotten from Robert about the work that you've been doing in Gene's heart, the messages and the lessons that you have been making so real and so vivid to him in this set of circumstances. Thank you, Lord, for raising up someone like Bob and bringing him in to be able to offer encouragement in the VA and the situation that he's in. We pray for the entire Betcher family, Lord, that you would surround them with your peace, the confidence that comes from knowing that you promised in John 14 and verse 19, because I live, you will live also, and that you have defeated the last enemy, even death itself. So, Lord, just come to Gene and comfort him, surround him by the power of your Spirit, with that sense of peace that comes from your presence. I pray, Father, that you would give the doctors great wisdom in terms of managing his pain and keeping him in comfort as his time draws near. And Father, I do pray that you would use this opportunity to speak to so many in the Betcher family about how much you love them and what a loyal and ever-present help you can be even in the midst of these circumstances. Thank you again for blessing so many people through the Betchers, and I pray that your hand of blessing and peace would rest on Gene. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, does that help you out, Bob? Yep, well, I think we lost Bob there, but on this National Day of Prayer, I think it's very appropriate to be praying. And as we often tell you here on the broadcast, if your church, your fellowship has a prayer team, a prayer chain, a prayer wall, please remember Gene Betcher in your prayers. Again, he is in hospice at the VA, and it does appear that his time of homecoming is drawing close. But just pray for God's comfort and encouragement for the entire family in this set of circumstances. And again, thank you so much for paying attention to these things and by being an encouragement in prayer. 790-5663, 1-877-556-1212. Back to the phones. We've got Steve on the line. Steve, welcome to this edition of A Reason for Hope. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. What's on your heart today?
I had a question about the English Standard Version. It seems to be the latest in Bible. I know the Gideons are now using it for their modern English version, and mm-hmm. I hear a lot of people talking about it. I just wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. The English Standard Version is a revision of the old Revised Standard Version of the Bible, the RSV as it used to be known. And again, this edition first came out in 2008. It uses the Revised Standard Version translation, but adds extensive notes and articles based on evangelical Christian scholarship. The headmaster of the project, a very solid and admirable Christian theologian, Dr. J.I. Packer, was the general editor of this work, and the translators sought and received permission from the National Council of Churches to use the RSV as the English textual basis for the English Standard Version. The translation method there, the intent of the translators was to put together a readable and accurate translation that is going to be accessible. They have sought to follow a literal word-for-word translation philosophy, they will say in their introductory notes. And to that end, the translators sought as far as possible to get the precise wording of the original text and the personal style of each biblical writer while taking into account differences of grammar and so forth involved there. So I guess where I place it, Steve, is that it's more of a word-for-word translation than the New International Version, which tends to be more of a dynamic equivalent translation, more of a thought-for-thought translation, and because of that creates some problems. But it's probably a little less wooden and a little bit more fluent and a little easier to follow than the New American Standard. The interesting thing is the ESV gets complaints from both sides. Some people say it's too literal, others say it's too dynamic. The funny thing is, if you're getting it from both sides, you've probably achieved a good balance between the two. You know, as far as in how it renders some of the more key verses, when I look at a translation, I usually try to do a litmus test on some key verses and find out how it's rendered. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, for instance, the ESV says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. That is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not of a result of works, so that no one would boast." I think that's probably a very good way to render that passage. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 says, We are waiting for our blessed hope, the glory, the appearing and of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So, you know, we don't have problems with that in terms of diminishing the deity of Christ like you would run into in some translations. So, you know, again, I don't have really any problem with the ESV. I tend to like the New King James Version a bit better because, again, it's based on some really solid manuscript families, and the flow of the passages makes it a little bit more readable. But the ESV, I think Dr. Packer and those who worked on it have done a very good job. Back in a moment.
You're listening to A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. Be sure to follow Pastor Scott on Twitter for the latest on current events, pop culture, and prophecy updates. Phone lines are open at 790-5663 for Greater Tucson, 1-877-556-1212 across the United States. Now here's Pastor Scott.
Hey, welcome back to this edition of A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. One final segment as we head towards the top of the hour, but plenty of time for you to get in with a call or a question. We have yet a free phone line available for you at 790-5663. That is the number for Greater Tucson, 1-877-556-1212, anywhere outside of the Greater Tucson, Arizona area. If you want to find out more about our ministry, check us out at CalvaryChristianFellowship.com. That is our main ministry media meeting place, as we call it. And there you can live stream us, you can podcast us, you can access our verse-by-verse teaching through the entire Word of God. And we've included a new feature there that if you want to get a hold of some of our verse-by-verse teachings that you can search for by topic, you know, the point of emphasis in a particular passage dealing with a topic near and dear to your mind, that's available for you at CalvaryChristianFellowship.com. We've gotten some really great reviews on adding that feature, and I think it'll be a blessing in your life as well. Again, that's available for you at CalvaryChristianFellowship.com. You can live stream us there, as we mentioned, and let your friends and loved ones know. If they're outside the reach of our radio network, they can join us on the air. We live stream the broadcast each and every day there at CalvaryChristianFellowship.com. Hey, we were talking with Steve going to the break. Steve, were you able to hang in there through that timeout?
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, does that help you out with about the ESV?
Yeah, sure does. Thank you.
All right. Well, God bless you, Steve. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, you know, one of the questions that we get often on these on the broadcast has to do with biblical translations, and the nub of the issue, I think, comes down to this. You know, if you're reading what is called a dynamic equivalent translation, like, say, the New Living Translation or the New International Version, I don't think that's going to end up, you know, just completely stumbling you or leading you astray biblically. The first Bible that I read for many years after I got saved was the Groovy the Way Living Bible and the old Living Bible paraphrase, which was not really even a translation. Was what an author named Kenneth Taylor really thought the Bible said. And, you know, I just kept noticing that there were these footnotes that said implied all over the place. And when I began to discover that this was a paraphrase, it was very helpful to me and very readable, for sure. But as I grew my walk with God, I came to understand that the most important thing was to try to get a translation that would bring you back as close to what the original had to say as possible. And so because of that, you know, I eventually ended up doing most of my seminary work in the New American Standard Bible. As I got involved with Calvary Chapel, you know, again, found that the New King James Version was a great middle ground because a very easy translation to follow along with, although a very good word-for-word translation and so on. So, you know, the bottom line is this. You know, it's not going to kill you to be a part, to be reading something in a dynamic equivalent translation, but it's probably a good thing, sooner or later in your walk with God, to move more towards a word-for-word, which is what the ESV is all about. Thanks for bringing that up, Steve, and thank you for being with us on A Reason for Hope. Back out to the phones, we've got Randy on the line. Randy, welcome to A Reason for Hope. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Good afternoon, Pastor. My question is real simple, in line with what you already talked about, actually. I was curious, have you ever put together or created your own study Bible? And if you haven't, do you plan on doing so?
You know, Randy, at this point, we have not, but believe it or not, my right-hand man, protege, all-around good guy, Sean Richards, is working on a project to take our verse-by-verse teaching through the Word of God and create a series of study guides that go with every message that we have throughout the Bible. I think he's all the way to 1 Samuel right now. And as
wow.
these things end up being put together, I don't know if you're familiar with Dave Guzik and the great commentary that he offers on the Blue Letter Bible website. Dave Guzik, dear friend of mine, he's the pastor of Calvary Chapel of Santa Barbara. Prior to that, he was the lead teacher at the Calvary Chapel Bible College in Siegen, Germany. Well, one of the things that Dave did, and you know, really in harmony with his spiritual gifts, is that he does have verse-by-verse notes through a good portion of the Bible. There's a few books that are still missing there. But if you go to Blue Letter Bible on the Internet, you know, I think you're going to blueletterbible.org. Just go to the study icon, and you'll see Bible commentaries. And under text commentaries, you'll see a number of different authors that are highlighted there. But for my money, Dave Guzik really does a tremendous job giving a great verse-by-verse overview. So we're doing something similar to that. It's going to be more keyed to our individual messages that we have going through the Word of God. And the initial offering of this is going to be through our website, calvarychristianfellowship.com. We're going to be attaching these notes to the different books of the Bible that we have available for people to listen to on audio and so forth. But probably as well, we're going to just go ahead and put together something very similar where people can access that on the computer. And if there's enough interest, obviously, we could even put together something in the format of a study Bible somewhere down the line. But that seems to be the progression that we're working on right now.
Too, but we attend your church, and I listen to the program when I can. And I have two study Bibles. I have the MacArthur and the David Jeremiah. And it just kind of dawned on me. I said, whoa, I wonder if Pastor Scott ever did one of these. That would be a good book to have.
Well,
when you find the extra time.
Yeah, well, once again, we are working on that project, Randy, and I'm glad that the teaching of the church has encouraged you, and who knows, we may end up putting something like that together somewhere down the line. But the first foray is going to probably be through the Internet, and like I said, we're already up to the book of 1 Samuel, so we're going to keep on keeping on as we have the opportunity to do that. Pray for Sean, because he has to listen to me and on all of these teachings and then condense it down and make it accessible. So it's quite a challenge indeed, but boy, the results we've gotten so far have been really, really good. We're looking forward to making those available. All right. Well, God bless you, Randy, and thank you again for those encouraging words. Check out, Dave Guzik on Blue Letter Bible. .org, or you can just go directly to his enduringword.com, enduringword.com website. And boy, that is another tremendous resource that I highly recommend. Thank you for being with us on the broadcast, Randy, and God bless you. Well, that frees the phone line. Got a time to tackle a couple of questions in our lightning round format, hopefully. One of the questions that comes to us from Olivia is this. In baptism, is baptism to be done by immersion or sprinkling? I know the most important thing is Christ in being saved. Well, Olivia, you hit the nail on the head on that. You know, once again, probably the most clear way to settle this issue as far as sprinkling or immersion is concerned is to take a look at the word that is translated baptism in and of itself. The word literally means to immerse. In fact, it was used as in the clothing industry to describe when they would take a piece of white-colored cloth and they would immerse it in a dye so that every fiber of the cloth would be affected by the dye, and then it would be raised back up with that and completely transformed. Well, the idea of baptism, baptizo in the original language, carries that same idea. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, we see what baptism is to portray to us. We are told in verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So baptism, again, Olivia, is this picture of dying to the old life. That's what happens when you're immersed under the water. It's like you've died with Christ. And then as you're brought back up out of the water, it's like you're raised to newness of life. And just an aside, when we were in Israel, one of the things that we saw were these mikvahs, these ceremonial baths that they would have all over the place, especially around the site of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. And it was fascinating because they would have these stairs that you would go down, and then you would get down to the bottom. There would be around a 3 or 4 foot area down below. Where you would go down and then you would crouch down so that you would be completely immersed in the water and then come back up again. Interestingly, that crouching down into the water would put someone almost in a fetal position. So it was almost like dying to your old life and being raised up to a new life. You would walk down, if you will, portraying going down into sin. Then God would cleanse you and then you would come back up out of that. You would arise up out of that to a brand new life. Well, that's what baptism is there to portray. Now, you know, if you're sprinkled instead of immersed, does that mean it didn't count? No, it's the heart that you bring to it, for sure. But, some people will say, well, if I was sprinkled and I've been convinced that I should have been immersed, should I be baptized again? Well, if that's going to be meaningful for you in your walk with God, then I would highly recommend that you do it. Remember, baptism doesn't save you. It's something we do because we're saved. It's something we do because we're honoring God and we're portraying to the world that already completed inward work of spirit baptism that God did the moment we came to Christ. God bless you.
You've been listening to A Reason for Hope. We'll open the phone lines every weekday at this time for you to talk to Pastor Scott, but our e-commerce store is always open at questionconnection.org. You can also call our customer service line toll-free at 1-877-556-1212. And be sure to join us next time for A Reason for Hope. A Reason for Hope is an outreach ministry of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.